gerrymandering has been going on almost ever since this nation was formed.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, our latest conversation with Richard Rifkin of the Government Law Center at Albany Law School about the process of redistricting. While a New York commission designed to independently draw new statewide congressional and legislative districts based on the 2020 census data succumbed to politics earlier this month when members divided along party lines and presented two opposing plans to the state legislature. The commission was created through a constitutional amendment approved by New York's voters in 2014. Its aim was to put an end to the state's notorious past practices of political gerrymandering. But the new rules allow both majority and minority party legislative leaders to pick an equal number of appointees, and the commission ended up with equally numbered Democratic and Republican factions. Each blamed the other for the inability to agree, so it will now be up to the legislature to decide which map, if any, to support. I spoke with Rifkin about what happens now and what went wrong.
It's not totally surprising because the commission several months ago had put out publicly put out maps for public comment. And the hope at that time was that they would put out a single map on which the public could offer its response. At that time, it put out two sets of maps, one from the Republican-aligned commissioners and the other from the Democratic-aligned commissioners. So this was not a total surprise.
So what happens now?
That's a very good question. It's complex. The next step is for the legislature to consider the plans that are before it from the commission. If the legislature approves either of the plans, sends the approval to the governor, and the governor signs the bill approving the plans, then those become the districts for the next 10 years. Approval, by the way, must be by two-thirds of each house. If the legislature does not approve these plans, then the matter goes back to the commission, and the commission issues a second set of maps. And I might point out, this may be a last opportunity for the commission to get it right and put out one set of maps. Whether they can do it, I'm certainly doubtful, but the opportunity is there.
How come?
That's what the Constitution requires. This is all set forth in the constitutional amendment of 2014. Fundamentally, it says if the legislature doesn't approve, it goes back to the commission, and the commission issues revised maps. You then go through the same process a second time, with the legislature having the ability to approve or reject those maps. Again, if any map is approved by the legislature and signed by the governor, then those become the districts. If the second map or set of maps is rejected by the legislature, then the legislature is free to do what it will without consideration of anything that the commission did.
Not to be cynical, but isn't it in the interest of the supermajority Democrats in the legislature to keep rejecting the maps and then draw their own maps?
Many people believe that's true, and certainly there were those who were skeptical, even at the outset of this process, that that was going to be the end result. The hope, at least in my mind, was that the commission would put out one set of maps. So when I say set of maps, one for the assembly, one for the Senate, and one for the congressional district. They'd put out a map that would be supported by those who have been advocating for fair maps in the interests of the voters. At that point, there could well have been political pressure on the legislature to adopt the maps issued by the commission. That opportunity is now gone by the boards.
We don't get to see this sort of commission in action very often because by rule this happens once a decade. But in retrospect, is it a design flaw to have a commission have equal numbers of each party, which are, you know, just doing simple math here, more likely to deadlock?
That's a very good question, because the idea obviously was to get fair maps. A good number of states have adopted commissions. Some of the commissions have been a total failure, even worse than New York. Other commissions have been far more successful. And in talking to people who are interested in this, starting to hear, let's take a look at the commission, the way it's structured, the way it operates, and what we can do is take a look at the commissions that have been more successful in other states. And we could try to get a better understanding of why those commissions succeeded while others like New York failed. And then go back and again amend the Constitution for the redistricting 10 years from now.
And this is not an academic debate here. I mean, we've got to get new maps in line because we have an election. Now it's 2022 this year.
Oh, that's correct. Not only do we need new maps, we need them quickly, because after all, the petitioning process, because we have a June primary, starts usually around March 1st. So it's not that far away that we're going to be talking about candidates choosing the districts in which they're going to run, getting their petitions together, and getting them out to the public for signature. So maps have to be adopted quickly.
The last time we spoke, we were previewing the November ballot, which included a ballot question dealing with redistricting. It would have established several new aspects to this process, and voters defeated that ballot question. So I guess the question is, you know, what sort of message are lawmakers getting about public interest in this process?
I would say that that was a complex amendment. It was quite complex. It contained many technical provisions.
Five, if I remember correctly.
Constitution. And my sense is it just really wasn't comprehensible. And I believe that the public really did not understand on what it was voting. And I don't blame the voters for that. It was just far too complex.
Are we, as an American democracy, I mean, should we just get used to the idea that the gerrymander is here to stay? The reason I ask is, you know, all the states are redrawing their lines right now, and many of them are to the advantage of the ruling party in that state. So it puts pressure on the ruling party in other states to do the same thing, doesn't it?
It does. I know there are those people who believe, and I'm talking about people who believe in fair districts, that at least this congressional districts, New York should gerrymander so that the Democratic representation is maximized in order to counter other states where they're maximizing the Republican representation. So, yes, it's complex. But in the end, for a democracy, you want fair districts which give people the opportunity to elect representatives who will best advocate for their interests. And that is the attempt here. Gerrymandering has been going on almost ever since this nation was formed. The word the gerrymander comes out of the 1814 redistricting in Massachusetts. So this is nothing new. Overcoming gerrymandering is hard. And it's even harder today, given the divisions we have in this country between the parties. But it is still, I believe, worth the effort. And whatever the failures have been, I think it's worth taking another look and seeing whether we can, in fact, succeed in getting districts that really do represent the interests of the voters.
Richard Rifkin of the Government Law Center at Albany Law School. I love talking to you. I always learn something. Thank you so much for this latest update.
It has been a pleasure. I love to talk about this.
All right. That does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.